presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
Our long nightmare is over. The winter, I think you can officially put the lid on and say it is done. Now, it's going to be cold in Georgia a little bit the next couple of nights. But nonetheless, sometimes winter is not so much a weather as it is a state of mind. How about a little philosophy for you off the top of the program? The point here is, we're in a good mood today because spring practice for Georgia begins tomorrow, and I can't wait for it. And I have to admit, I'm really excited about the Kirby Smart press conference, which will kind of kick it all off. Now, I know sometimes the media stuff can be really way inside, and only media cares about media. I do kind of get all of that, but we haven't heard from Kirby Smart on a few key issues. I want to hear what he has to say about, you know, the new defensive coordinator, Dan Lanning, and just how much the new offense might be different under James Coley. I'm curious about hearing some of that kind of stuff from Kirby Smart when he speaks to the media tomorrow. Looking forward to hopefully being in Athens some over the next few days for spring practice, too, and just having a really good time with all of this. I was also thinking over the weekend about the start of last year's spring practice. And when Kirby Smart spoke a year ago, one of the questions he was asked a lot back then will be, I think, a similar version of that this year. And I think this is something that Georgia fans will be paying close attention to. And frankly, maybe I'm talking to myself here as much as I'm talking to anybody else, because we've been getting ready for spring practice around here for quite some time. And we're talking about a lot of stuff. We talk about improving the pass rush. We talk about the running back situation going along as a complement with DeAndre Swift. We talk about, you know, the need to find, this has been a big, you know, hot button issue with me, but the need to find that really, truly elite wide receiver, game-breaking, game-changing player at that position to go along with what we think is that quarterback in Jake Fromm and that running back in Swift, the wide receiver version of that. We talk about that a lot. One of the things, though, we haven't probably talked about enough is DeAndre Baker and Baker not being here anymore. And what that has to do with me for last year's spring practice is, do you remember how much we talked about the need to replace Roquan Smith a year ago? That really dominated the preseason conversation. In the spring and the summer, Kirby Smart was asked about it a ton. He was constantly being asked about, you know, what's it going to be like this season heading into 2018 without a guy in Roquan Smith who was a Butkus Award winner, who was a, you know, early, I think, number 8 overall pick in the NFL draft, a guy that was as dominant a player as an individual can be in college football. You got to play without him now. And over the course of time, Kirby Smart kept answering that same question over and over again. And every time he did answer the question, it always kind of sounded like some version of this. Here's Kirby Smart.
I think the identity is created by the people in the room. He's obviously not in the room. But I try not to look at plays because you can't live in the past. I mean, there's a bunch of plays out there that he'd have made that nobody's made because there's nobody that's Roquan. They're different. You know what I mean? So we're not going to have a guy that's a first-round pick at inside backer. That's just not going to happen for us this year. But we got a lot of other guys around him that are experienced. So we're not really dwelling in what Roquan would have done on that play. We can't live in that world.
He says he's not really dwelling on that, the absence of Roquan Smith, but he had a lot more to say about it, both in the spring, the summer, and kind of everything in between. In fact, here is more of Kirby on that subject.
I mean, obviously, we've got to grow and try to find the right guys, especially fast guys, because that's the one thing Roquan was. He was fast. He could erase mistakes, you know, and we're probably not as fast at that position. But by committee, we still have a good inside linebacker room. It's just not that one outlier that was so fast.
So I think it's really interesting, and those two pieces of audio from Kirby Smart really sum up the feelings about a lot of the stuff when it comes to a year ago trying to replace Roquan Smith, a very hot topic then. And I, of all the things that he says, the thing that I probably like the most is the fact that Roquan Smith had the ability to erase mistakes, and that's so true. For everyone who lived through that 2017 season, you remember that so clearly, that Roquan Smith if George was in a mess, if George was in a bind, Smith had the ability to erase those mistakes and make the Georgia defense on some days look better than it really was. And, you know, in absence of Roquan a year ago, as Kirby says, it was kind of inside linebacker by committee. The reason why I mentioned all that off the top of the program is because as much as we talked about that a year ago, I don't think we've talked nearly enough, or maybe as much as we should, about DeAndre Baker kind of being in that same spot for Georgia here this year. I mean, I think it's really easy to forget that what Roquan was for the linebacking core in 2017, Baker was almost just that good for the defensive back spot in 2018. In fact, There are a lot of really strong similarities between the two. They were both national award winners. As we said, Roquan won the Butkus. Baker won the Thor. Roquan was the number 8 overall pick in the NFL draft. I don't know what DeAndre Baker's going to be drafted when he goes this spring, but I know it's going to be really, really high. Baker's going to be a first-round draft pick. So replacing him for the 2019 defense is probably going to be just as much of a challenge as replacing Roquan Smith was for the 2018 defense. Because of the things that DeAndre Baker did, it was almost easy to forget he was on the field because it was always so quiet in his quadrant. You know, that's that Baker Island that we've talked about so much. There wasn't a lot of action over there because teams just didn't want to throw to DeAndre Baker very much. But when they did, Baker was really good at breaking up those passes, really good at defending that side of the field. In fact, on ESPN, the night that he won the Jim Thorpe Award, talking to the ESPN college football personality Chris Fowler, I mean, Baker did talk about just how good it feels and how much fun it is to shut down that top receiver and go head-to-head with the beast of the SEC. That's obviously something that Baker relishes. In fact, here's what he said about that.
You just improved the mood of a lot of Georgia fans back here. Dog's got a huge contingent, so feel happier tonight. Describe the challenge and the attraction for you of shutting down the other team's best wide receiver, because that's an assignment you've had since high school in Miami and throughout Georgia.
You know, coming out of Miami, got a lot of talent, so week in, week out, play good opponents in the SEC, good receivers every week, you know, so I just study film and practice guys like Miko Hartman, you know, Terry Godwin. They help me out throughout the week, so when it comes game day, it's time to show up.
I mean, I love that attitude from DeAndre Baker. I'm going to go hard during practice against other NFL guys, and on game day, I'm going to show up. And I think it's safe to say that over the last 3 years, DeAndre Baker has really shown up on game days, and it's been a great luxury to have a guy like that playing the cornerback position, which kind of leads me to two questions on the topic of replacing Baker here this year. First of all, do you agree with me that it's almost overlooked in comparison to replacing Roquan Smith a year ago? It seems like right now there's less conversation about that. Maybe I'm wrong, and maybe you're hearing different conversations than I am, but it seems like in comparison to the obsession with what's the Georgia defense going to be like without Roquan Smith in 2018, it feels like we're not hearing as much of the without DeAndre Baker talk for 2019, but I think we probably should. And I guess if my premise is correct and this conversation around Dog Nation is not happening as much as it did a year ago with Roquan, I think it's probably, you know, an important question to ask why. Well, why is it that the Baker talk is less than the Roquan talk was a year ago? And I try to kind of, you know, rack my brain about that and think about that a bit. And I guess the only thing I can come up with is this. It's probably two things. And I briefly mentioned one of these before, that Roquan was a very loud, noisy player. He creates a lot of highlights because he's running towards the football. Baker, sometimes by comparison, is a little quieter player because smart offenses just aren't going to throw his way. So it's easy, I think, to potentially overlook just how good Baker really was for Georgia. But the other part of this is, you know, Kirby Smart mentioned the committee, and that was the word that he used, that committee of linebackers trying to replace Roquan Smith for 2018. By comparison to Roquan, because Channing Tindall was just a freshman, because the profile of the other players not quite as high, there really wasn't a obvious next Roquan in that group. Maybe it speaks well of the Georgia secondary, at least on paper, that maybe the concern about replacing DeAndre Baker is not quite as high. Now, if that is the feeling, that may turn out to be wrong, and Georgia fans may find out this fall that playing without DeAndre Baker is just not as much fun as you thought it might be. But for now, maybe the confidence level of Georgia fans about these defensive backs, cornerbacks in particular, minus DeAndre Baker, maybe it's just a little bit higher. I mean, certainly Kirby Smart's contributed that a bit. He made Tyson Campbell a starter. That's one of the guys that hopes to step back in and play a bigger role this season after starting some at the beginning of last year. And obviously Kirby Smart seemingly had a good bit of confidence in him. In fact, at the beginning of last season, he talked about what it was about Campbell during the summer that put him in a position to start his first game of his college career. Here is Smart from then on Campbell.
I think just a gut instinct that he's the next best guy. I mean, he's athletic, fast, strong, got good ball skills. I mean, at some point you got to make a decision on who you want to grow and go play with. And, you know, Stokes came in and played a lot of snaps for Bake, and I thought Stokes played well. But we just felt like Tyson was the best guy to go with at this point.
So they go with Tyson Campbell there. He's a starter for a good bit of the season, but then over the course of the year, maybe he faltered a bit. Maybe he needed to learn by watching a little bit. And then Georgia makes the change. Opposite DeAndre Baker goes with Eric Stokes in that place. But that's another guy that Georgia fans grew to have a good bit of confidence in. Here's Kirby from during the season on Stokes.
Eric's first of all, he's a great competitor. I told the team after the game, here's a guy who got beat out, never whined, never cried, never pouted. He just worked. And when you just work, you get better. And he's not even a starter on punt return. He didn't even get to take reps to do that block. He went in because he paid attention to the guy that was in front of him, executed it for Tyler Simmons perfect, and really played well today. But you know, it didn't surprise me because he practices well. I mean, that kid plays well. I told you he had a really good camp, and it paid off for him today.
So the reference there from Kirby is to a block punt that led to a touchdown that Georgia had against Missouri. But you hear Kirby's words of confidence in Tyson Campbell, words of confidence there in Eric Stokes, and you could add to that guys like Devon Wilson and others. Maybe this is an example where Georgia fans going into the spring saying, I know there's no DeAndre Baker, but look who there still is, whether it be freshmen like Tyreek Stevens, incoming junior college transfers like DJ Daniel. And I get where that's coming from, UGA fans, from UGA fans. I guess my point, though, is let's not overlook just how big of a need DeAndre Baker filled for Georgia a year ago. And let's not oversimplify how difficult it's going to be to replace him. For me, this spring, this is a big storyline worth watching. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and we are in podcast form wherever podcasts can be found. It's great to have you with us here today. We'll get Chip Towers coming up in just a moment. I'm also going to recap and look back on a pretty busy weekend for UGA recruiting here in a moment as well. Before that, let me remind you about something really cool that's going on at Kroger. They've now got Blue Buffalo Wilderness Pet Food at Kroger now. This is an incredible, incredible addition to the array of goods that they already have at your local land at Kroger, and you're going to love this. And there's a special offer to go along with this. You can now earn 200 bonus fuel points with a $30 purchase of Blue Buffalo Wilderness dog or cat food. That's with a card and a digital coupon. So please check that out. How nice is that to have the Blue Buffalo Wilderness pet food now at Kroger, and a great offer when it comes to the bonus fuel points there on that. So that is a lot of fun. All right, I told you, it's been a busy time for UGA recruiting over the weekend. Let me see if I can recap some of this here over the course of a couple of minutes. I'll try to kind of run through this pretty quickly. There was a tweet from Chad Lindbergh, the big-time offensive lineman from Texas, after taking a UGA visit that got some attention. Now, many of you know, when it comes to being fluent in speaking social media, I am not always. Let me show you the tweet from Lindbergh here that appears that he's thinking very carefully about something and maybe arriving at a decision. What does that mean? Well, I won't pretend to tell you, but I do have some good news. It does sound like that Jeff Sintel's got a piece coming up at DogNation.com, a kind of a follow-up on Lindbergh after having spoken to him recently. So maybe Jeff can clue us in on a little bit about what the big offensive lineman from Texas was thinking about, maybe the decision he was arriving upon there, Georgia. That's one that a lot of Dog fans are paying attention to. And speaking of really good offensive linemen, another one was in Athens over the weekend. It's Paris Johnson. Now, let's be careful about this on one respect. Johnson is an Ohio State commit, and he's visiting a lot of these, I guess, you know, southern area schools right now, but he did take the picture in the UGA gear, and that's always nice to see. I got to say, Johnson looks good in that red Georgia 77, and I always like it when the recruits choose the red jerseys for their pictures. But what maybe is more interesting to me than Paris Johnson on his UGA visit showing off his UGA gear is the response that he got from the five-star running back from California, Kendall Milton. Milton seeing Paris Johnson's tweet, he gives him the dog emojis on top of that, so maybe Milton got Georgia on his mind right now. That's something exciting to think about, and I keep going on and on. I get asked all the time, B.A., he's out in California. Is this too difficult of a recruiting battle to win, or what if he comes to Georgia and gets homesick? And I had that conversation on Twitter this weekend. My thought on all of that is Milton's a really good-looking running back, and if Georgia has a chance to win this recruiting battle, I'm going to take my chances with him being 3,000 miles from home and all that kind of stuff, because Georgia needs elite running backs. Milton is one, and I think the fact that he feels good about UGA right now is something that UGA fans ought to feel really good about, too. In fact, here is what he's recently told Jeff Sintel about his feelings on the Dogs.
I think Georgia has a major shot in being able to get me to go to their program. I love the whole school. I love Coach Mark. I love Coach McGee. I love Coach Williams. They're all great people, great guys, great coaches, and you know, I can see myself playing at the next level. They produce lots of running backs for the NFL, like they produced two last year, and it'd be great to be able to pick up where they left off and be able to get something going.
So good stuff there from Kendall Milton, talking about his feelings on UGA, and he kind of shows those off. on the weekend there a bit as well. Let me also follow that up with a couple more quick pieces of recruiting information. We've talked a lot about Rakeem Jarrett, his activity on social media, the fact that he's taking a lot of visits, talking a lot about commitments. Well, he's back on social media again this weekend, reaching out to the folks from Bleacher Report about maybe shooting a commitment video. Sounds like he's getting about ready to do that. In fact, I think we got some evidence of that social media activity. Rakeem Jarrett says, I'm trying to get Bleacher Report to do my commitment video. Well, GriffDog83 on Twitter says, forget Bleacher Report. Why not do it with Dog Nation Daily? And listen, Rakeem, the door is open. If that's indeed what you want to do, I think GriffDog's got a really good idea there. Rakeem Jarrett would always be welcome here on Dog Nation Daily to make his announcement if he wants to. I feel like that'd be a lot of fun to be a part of. And by the way, speaking of fun, one more thing to show you. It's Arik Gilbert, the five-star tight end. And there's been some discussion of, is Gilbert going to be a defensive player at the next level, or is he going to be an offensive player? He likes catching touchdowns, and if you're watching on video, you can see that not only is he good at doing that, he's also capable of hauling them down one-handed. This, and Darnell Washington's a lot the same way, the young man from Las Vegas, this is just a really, really special athlete. The one-handed catch there from Gilbert shows that he is a tight end and very rarefied air when it comes to that level of athleticism, so that's kind of an exciting thing to see. There's one more video, and I'm going to wait and show this to you on DN90 a little bit later on today. Kind of an amazing thing from 2020 wide receiver Jermaine Burton. We'll do that as a part of DN90 a little bit later on. For now, though, as Georgia gets ready to make its turn towards spring practice beginning tomorrow, with everything happening there between the hedges for that, let's get ready to check on our buddy Chip Towers. It's also great to have you with us here today on Dog Nation Daily as well.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insight.
I loved Chip Towers' piece on Sunday with Stetson Bennett, the Georgia quarterback. I thought that he had some very, or the people around him, I guess I should say, had some very interesting things to say. And I think that Bennett's a really interesting figure to talk about as we head towards spring practice this year. We'll do that with Chip coming up in just a moment. Chip, if you don't mind, though, let me begin where I was on before you joined us, at least briefly off the top of the program, on the subject of DeAndre Baker. Do you agree with my premise that it seems like this offseason thus far, we've talked about Georgia replacing Baker maybe a little less than we talked about Georgia replacing Roquan Smith a year ago? And if that's true, I'm not sure that it should be, because I think the challenge of replacing Baker is just as significant as the challenge of replacing Roquan a year ago. Where do you land on that topic?
Well, I wouldn't compare replacing DeAndre Baker with replacing Roquan Smith, just because a middle linebacker, in particular a middle linebacker of the ilk of Roquan Smith, is just going to be way more involved in everything you do. But there is no underplaying what DeAndre Baker meant to Georgia's defense and their secondary in particular. There was a stat this morning, you may have cited it from Pro Football Focus, and I can't remember the exact number, but it's the yards per pass attempt. So every time an opposing team goes back to attempt a pass, he led the nation in the lowest number on that. And so that means several things for a defense. Number one, it means his side of the field, whoever he's covering, he's generally taking care of business. It also means that because he's on that side of the field, that person's not being considered or targeted very often. I think in the immediate, that goes away until whoever replaces him, proves themselves. And then finally, it means that, that when somebody did throw it, DeAndre Baker, good things usually happen for Georgia and DeAndre Baker. He usually knocked the ball away, had an interception, or did something else. So there's no substitute for that at that position. But lest we forget, a right cornerback is on one side of the field, is on a very perimeter, is usually involved with one person or possibly two people in his zone that he's in charge of shutting down. Middle linebacker is a whole different ball of wax, man. You just got to be involved in everything. And Georgia's linebacker play has been fine. I think we all know that, and I don't think anybody expected Roquan Smith to just be replaced with another Roquan or anything stretching that. But Georgia needs to get better play out of the middle linebacker core, and as spring practice begins tomorrow, I think that's one of the more intriguing position battles, if you want to call it, or you know, just really the rotation there is going to be interesting. I think, you know, Monty Rice and Tate Crowder give Georgia a great start, but they've recruited all kinds of different guys, and there's a lot of different combinations and possibilities you can look at. I think we'll see them all in the spring, and how that shakes out is going to be real intriguing.
Sam Hazeltine in our Facebook comment section says, how's Georgia looking at quarterback, which is really a perfect transition to what you wrote about on Sunday, getting some information from some folks close to Georgia quarterback Stetson Bennett, one of those guys competing for that backup quarterback spot. And, Chip, I thought this was a really interesting piece, and certain aspects of this, whether it be, you know, people close to Bennett saying that maybe Bennett didn't really feel like he was given the best chance of, or, you know, the fair chance of earning that backup spot heading into 2018. Should I take that to mean that Bennett thought he outperformed Justin Fields last spring?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can say that. I mean, there was some stuff that didn't necessarily make its way into that story that, you know, I've heard about, that the week leading up into the G-Day game, you know, apparently Stetson Bennett severely outperformed Justin Fields in practice. And I think, you know, when you came down to G-Day, and look, none of us are surprised about it. You had to see what Justin Fields had. You had to see what he could do. And he was given that opportunity, and he did a lot with it in the G-Day game, looking back at it. But it's a little bit of a stacked deck. You know, spring games in particular, you can really sort of set things up the way you want them to come out, and you know, I think Bennett's camp kind of felt like that was the case there. But here's my biggest takeaway on it. I mean, you know, when you talk to his high school coach and his junior college coach, and, you know, I put a little bit more stock in his junior college coach because he's not as biased as maybe a high school coach like Sean Pender is going to be. But, you know, you hear him talking about Kyler Murray and talking about Baker Mayfield, and they believe he's that type of player, and just isn't recognized as that yet because of the way he came to Georgia, the opportunities he's had so far. He hasn't been able to get himself in a meaningful situation in a real game, and that's what Stetson Bennett is looking for, and that's what these guys believe, that he's actually special to a different degree. Now, all of us, I remain cynical. You know, I mean, he's got to. You know, these guys got to – there's proven it, and there's the opportunity to prove it. He just hadn't had the opportunity to prove it, so he's eager to get an opportunity to prove it. Now, what I didn't get into in that story, and we'll get into in plenty in spring practice, the other side of that equation is Dwan Mathis.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's no denying that kid, he's 6'6", he's 215 pounds, he runs a 10-800 meters. The book on him, you know, I don't know this, but, I mean, the book on him, he's a little bit raw, and he's got a lot – to work out in terms of the idiosyncrasies of playing the position of quarterback, certainly on this level. But that said, you got to find out what that guy can do too. So I think really, we know this is Jake Fromm's team. Everybody knows that. I think it's good for Georgia overall. But I think the battle, you know, behind Jake Fromm is really interesting, and I think that in and of itself really helps Georgia's quarterback position. In fact, these two guys are really going to be going at it in spring practice. They're both going to get better as you go through spring practice. And then sooner or later, one of them is going to be identified as the guy. Now, I think that's going to be Stetson Bennett, as I wrote pretty strongly on Sunday, especially early in the season. But depending on Dwan Mathis's progress, there's no denying what this kid brings to the position physically. And so we just got to see that on the field, see what it looks like.
You know, Matt Talley in our Facebook comment section was talking about that comparison between Baker Mayfield and Stetson Bennett. And Chip, here's the thing that you know, for the rest of our lifetimes and the lifetimes of everyone who's watching or listening to us right now, an undersized former walk-on quarterback, they're all going to get compared to Baker Mayfield for the rest of humanity because of the way that he emerged from that to become the first-round quarterback that he is. But here's the one thing that you'll say about that. If Baker Mayfield was in the Georgia roster as a former walk-on quarterback, he would also think he was better than Justin Fields. So if you're going to be the Baker Mayfield type, you're going to have the moxie to go along with that. And I do think that athletic arrogance, that belief in yourself that transcends your recruiting profile, I think that probably aided Baker Mayfield as he was coming up through the ranks. And if Bennett's going to be, you know, a backup quarterback for Georgia, number two quarterback in the SEC, he's also going to have some of those qualities, believing in himself beyond what the recruiting services told him that he should probably expect from his college career.
Exactly. And that's what we've seen from Stetson Bennett. I mean, I think all of us were probably a little surprised to see him transfer out, you know, after spring. But, you know, he left spring practice last year, you know, fairly bitter. And it's just, you know, not bitter from an ugly standpoint, just like wanting to prove himself. And, you know, whether he did that or not at Jones County Junior College, I don't know. But you got to be impressed with his moxie. Say, look, I'm going to go over here and I'm going to show. And, you know, he didn't necessarily go to Jones, the JCJC, as they call it out there, with the intention of coming back to Georgia. That was Kirby and them recognizing their situation and saying, hey, this is a pretty good option. Here's a chance to come back. And you know, the other side of that entire story is that Stetson Bennett was important enough to Kirby Smart at the outset that he did fling a scholarship offer out there to him before he left. Hey, we'll get you on scholarship here. But the fact of the matter was, you know, he just wants to, you know, Stetson Bennett wants to prove, look, I'm not just a forever backup. Yes, I love Georgia. Yes, my family. I grew up a Bulldog. I want to be here more than anywhere else, but I want to play more than that. And so, you know, Kirby and I'm not privy to the conversations that they had in recruiting, but apparently afterwards, you know, you'll be given every opportunity to be the backup here. You know, Jake Fromm's future, you know, he's already attending the NFL Combine. So clearly, you know, that's on his mind. Clearly the NFL, Jake Fromm is on the NFL's mind. So this could get, you know, this could get compressed and move up really, really fast. And then, you know, there's the situation when you're playing games, who's going to come in first? If Fromm gets injured or if you're in a blowout game, who's going to be the first guy on the field? Right now, I think it's going to be Stetson Bennett, but Dwan Mathis will have something to say about it as well.
K9 Blues in our YouTube comment section a moment ago was talking about the competition at inside linebacker. Chip, you also wrote about that recently as a part of your spring preview at DogNation.com, and one of the names you highlighted in there was Tay Crowder. And Crowder's another one of these interesting stories, a little bit like Bennett, and the fact that, you know, he's overcome a lot to get to the point where he is in his career right now. But I have to admit, speaking strictly as a fan here for a moment, that, Chip, if I'm rooting for Georgia to be at its best at the inside linebacker position, doesn't mean that this is the way it's going to play out, but Georgia with top-end productivity from inside linebackers, to me, that's the combination of Monty Rice, who I believe is Georgia's best run stopper, and I think it's Channing Tindall emerging a bit the way that maybe Roquan did back in 2016 in his sophomore season when he first started showing flashes of being what he would eventually turn out to be. It's a combination of the speedy Tindall and the thumper Rice that I think potentially would give Georgia its best tandem at inside linebacker. That's my personal rooting interest as a fan. Do you think that I'm wrong?
Well, no, I don't know whether you're right or not. You know, it's the fact of the matter. I like Crowder. I like everything about Crowder, not the least of which is his story, right? We're journalists. We love good stories. And I think Tay Crowder is a great story. And, you know, my vision of Tay Crowder, whenever I think about him and his potential, is that interception against Missouri. You remember that, how he intercepted that ball? And, I mean, it was like he was fired out of a cannon. I still can't believe he didn't score on that particular play. But, you know, Georgia's got to be more productive in that regard, in linebacker position in particular, making plays, not just making the standard expected play, but making exceptional plays. And they just haven't had enough of those in recent years. Channing Tindall, absolutely. I think of everybody that Georgia has there, I mean, I've heard kind of more excitement and stuff about that kid. I went and saw him when I did a Next Generation story on him. I guess it's been two years ago now. Was at a track practice, and I couldn't believe this guy. In fact, they actually shut him down at the time I went to see him, because this was shortly before he reported to Georgia, because the track coach was mindful or either carrying out the orders of what Georgia coaches were saying. They didn't want him to tear a hamstring or anything else, but that kid can flat out fly. I don't know whether he's Roquan Smith fast, but he's pretty fast, and he's got the size as well. And, you know, look, Georgia's recruited very strong in this position in the past couple of years. So that, I mean, that's what Kirby and them are looking for. That's what Glenn Schumann, the position coach there, is looking at. It's for one of these young and highly recruited guys to come through. Now, you can't forget about N'Kobe Dean, right? The number one linebacker in all of America. But I always, whenever the discussion moves to inside linebacker play, I always point back to Roquan Smith, you know, the best linebacker really in a generation, not just at Georgia, but maybe, you know, in a generation of SEC football players, and that's been justified what he's doing on the NFL level. It wasn't until the end of his sophomore year that he really started to play and you really started to notice him, because that is a complicated position. You got action coming from you from all different directions. You got blockers coming from all different directions. A lot of reading, a lot of reacting. You got to get good D-line play in front of those guys. So there's so many factors. I don't know if N'Kobe Dean will be a factor right out of the box. If he is, if he can be, then he's a special guy. Now, as an engineering major, and you know, maybe he can handle both the physical and the mental of the position. But the fact being, Georgia has recruited like crazy at that position the past few years, and I think whoever you know, the cream that rises to the top this year should give Georgia some, you know, some strong play up the middle, which they obviously need.
Let me stay on the linebacker just for a moment. You obviously also wrote about the need to improve the pass rush. That's been a hot topic this offseason thus far. And Chip, to me, this is as simple as this. If Georgia's like high 20s in sacks next season in 2019, if it's low 30s, you know, I don't think you and I are sitting here talking about Georgia back in the college football playoff if it doesn't find significantly more sacks than it had a year ago. And I'm not talking about blitzing. I'm not talking about gimmicks. I'm talking about, you know, front seven guys that just beat their man and get to the quarterback, you know, not having to bring the extra pass rusher. I just think that's a crucial, crucial step towards Georgia winning the SEC and getting back to the playoff, and that sounds like you kind of agree.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I go kind of back and forth on the pass rush stats per se. Here's a number one that you're drilling down on right there. You know, creating pressure of any sort with your front four is the most important factor in that. You know, without dialing up any gimmicks and all that. And, you know, there's a lot of chatter and everything out there about, you know, Dan Lanning's going to be more aggressive. He's going to call more blitzes and bring more. But, yeah, you know, the best defenses don't do that. They don't have to do that. You know, you got one guy, you know, somebody's got to have one-on-one blocking up front. He's taking on one-on-one blocking, and that guy's got to win his battle. And after Alabama has won that battle, you know, most of the time they're able to win that battle. Clemson has done that in recent years. Georgia needs to get back to being able to do that. I thought they did that a little bit a couple of years ago, not so much last year. So that has to do with you know, interior D-line play as well as it does with what's happening out on the pass rush. Now, you talk about recruiting. I mean, geez.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, outside linebacker, I mean, my goodness. I would say in some ways there's a little bit of pressure on Dan Lanning right now because, I mean, you know, you start lining up five-star after five-star after five-star. Well, you better get those guys to perform, you know. And I don't think they did that last year. I thought there was a huge drop-off when DeAndre Walker came out to play. I mean, it's you know, that's not just – everybody saw that. When he went out in the SEC championship game in the third quarter, everything changed. And I think that game turns out different if DeAndre Walker, you know, doesn't tear a groin or whatever it was he did in that game. I think you've got a lot better containment on Jalen Hurts than Brenton Cox was able to give you, or Adam Anderson, or who, you know, insert guy here. Now, again, those guys are very young. Sophomores, the best of them. Here comes Nolan – Smith now, you know, here comes you know, Jermaine Johnson. I mean, the candidates are many, and I, you know, again, the cream that rises at the top here is going to be very, very good. But yes, they got to get more pressure on the passer, and it may be even more important, going back to your first point, that you don't have a DeAndre Baker back there. You know, you can also protect a secondary by getting pressure up front, and somebody's going to have to put some heat on the quarterback.
At the risk of keeping you long, Chip, let me do one more thing with you. Kirby Smart will speak tomorrow, and you mentioned Dan Lanning a moment ago. Of all the things that Kirby will be asked, the thing I'm the most interested in hearing from him are his thoughts on these new coordinators. You know, responsibility-wise for the defense, how much separation is there between Lanning's responsibility? He's got the bigger salary, and Schumann's responsibility, who does get the co-coordinator title. How much of a, you know, separation are there between those two? On the other side of the ball, you know, a lot of fans are hoping James Coley's a little different than Jim Chaney. I'm curious to hear from Kirby. Did he hire Coley to replicate what Chaney had been doing, or did he hire Coley to do a little to do things a little differently from what Chaney had been doing? I don't know how much Kirby gives all of us on that tomorrow, fans included, but I am really curious to hear what he does say about these coordinators that he's hired.
Well, I think the coaching factor is for Georgia is a fascinating storyline for 2019. I do. I mean, look, you know, everybody, you know, who loves the Bulldogs and loves Georgia football believes strongly in Kirby Smart, and Kirby Smart believes strongly in himself. But I'm telling you, this is a very young and untested, you know, coaching staff per se, and you know, as frenetic and and energetic and everything else Kirby is. You can't be everywhere doing everything all the time. So these guys are going to have a lot of responsibility. And look, that goes way beyond, you know, playing Notre Dame and what kind of blitz packages are you going to come in. I mean, there's daily practice scripts. There's developmental work at your position. There's just a lot of things that go into it. And Kirby can't be everywhere doing everything all the time. So, I mean, I think that's a big factor. I don't have a ton of doubt about it. I do believe Kirby knows what he's doing, but I just think that just the makeup of this staff, you know, pretty much speaks to Kirby's self-belief. And, of course, he's got that, but so there's belief in yourself, and then there's reality. And so we'll see a lot of those questions answered over the next, you know, 8-9 months as the season, you know, comes to fruition. But it's a big factor right now. You know, how is that how's it going to look, and what was your thoughts on all this, and who else did you talk to? And I'm not surprised. It turned out, Brandon, I think the way you expected it to, and me too, we talked about it ad nauseum.
Sure.
As we went through that 40-day period with no hires. But at the end of the day, it is at the end of the day a bit of a risk.
Yeah, I think you're right about that, Chip. It's really looking forward to your coverage of spring practice around Dog Nation beginning tomorrow. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you so much for being with us here today on Dog Nation Daily. We appreciate your time, and we'll look forward to speaking to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Brent.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really good stuff from Chip Towers, and I think he's right. That spring storyline of these new coordinators and how they grow into their role, and you know what Kirby says about them, I think it's going to be a really fascinating thing to watch. Kirby going to year 4. This is a big year for Georgia with massive expectations, and Dan Lanning, James Coley will be big factors and play a big role and just how much Georgia achieves in that regard. Let me also say two other quick things about what Chip had to say, and then I want to announce our big bracket contest, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. First of all, I love all y'all, but so help me, some of y'all hear what you want to hear. It's amazing to me. Nobody on the show said that Stetson Bennett was better than Justin Fields. I didn't say that. Chip didn't say that. The question I asked to Chip is, did Stetson Bennett believe he outperformed Fields in practice last spring? And Chip says, based on the conversations he's had with people close to Bennett, yes, that indeed was the case, that's what Bennett believes. Doesn't mean it's even true, but Bennett believes that. And obviously Chip's piece on Sunday kind of went into a little bit more detail on that. That's not Chip's opinion. That's not my opinion. That is the reporting based on what people close to Bennett seem to be thinking. And I do think that's interesting going into the spring. The other thing off the top that, you know, Chip says that he wouldn't compare DeAndre Baker's absence for the 2019 roster to Roquan Smith's absence for the 2018 roster, which I think is a really interesting opinion, and I understand where he's coming from. He seems to think the inside linebackers are more important than the cornerback. Obviously, to me, that goes back to what I said, though, off the top of the show, that Roquan played a noisy brand of football. He's running everywhere. He's going to the football, and wherever the camera was during a game, Roquan Smith was in that camera shot. I think by comparison, cornerback is just a little bit different kind of position. You know, if people aren't throwing to Baker and smart quarterbacks wouldn't, then you're not seeing him on camera a lot during the game. And I think that sometimes that has a tendency to maybe set up a scenario where he's a lot more important than he seems, because you know he's just not showing up on the TV broadcast quite as much. Either way, it will be interesting to see how Georgia does that. And by the way, also year 2 of looking for that next Roquan at that inside linebacker position, that'll be really interesting as well. Good stuff. A quick reminder here of our friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. You know, this is the time of year when a lot of folks start doing some stuff around the house, those spring cleaning improvement projects, and sometimes when you start digging around the basement, around the outside of your house, you start noticing some things you never seen before. Maybe there's that like wet spot on the floor of your basement, or that crack on the outside, kind of where the foundation is, and all of a sudden you get that pit in your stomach of, oh my gosh, what's wrong here? What's going on? The good news is fixing that kind of stuff is a lot easier than you might think, but getting it fixed is something that you need to do. That's why you want to check out my friends at Engineered Solutions of Georgia. I'm talking about wet basement, damp crawl space, all that kind of stuff. You got those little cracks, things like that. just have Engineered Solutions of Georgia come out and check you out and take care of you, and they'll get you what you need. It's all going to be a lot easier than you might think. We trust them because they're the only ones that have a full-time engineer on staff. When it comes to stuff like this, this is your house. This is the foundation that supports your house and everything underneath that and below that. You don't want to trust that to just anybody. You want that full-time engineer. Engineered Solutions of Georgia has that, so give them a call, 678-ESOG-NOW. That's 678-ESOG-NOW. All right, so let's talk bracket contest here for a moment. Dog Nation Daily is going to be doing our first annual bracket challenge. Now, logistics are not my strong suit, so let's see if I can go through this and explain this the way that it's going to go. We're mostly going to use the forum for this. The link to the bracket challenge is going to be in the forum. Connor Riley is going to essentially be running this behind the scenes. The link to this is going to be in the forum. This is unlimited. Anybody who wants to be in this can be in this. It's totally free to join. And we're actually playing for prizes here. The winner of the bracket challenge is going to receive a Dog Nation prize pack. Now, I've been told by our buddy BJ, who kind of helps keep the lights on here around Dog Nation, that this is going to be like a legit prize pack with a lot of Dog Nation gear on the inside. So the one single winner, the person that takes home it all, that person's going to get an impressive collection of Dog Nation swag and gear as a part of the Dog Nation prize pack. But am I correct in saying that the top 10 scores in our bracket challenge are also going to get Dog Nation t-shirts? So we've got prizes for 10 winners and a grand prize for the number one winner of all. So this is going to be a lot of fun. So we're going to put this in the forum. We got to act fast because the play-in games are tomorrow and the actual tip is on Thursday. So we got to do all this fast. We've never done this before. This may be a total logistical nightmare, but I think it's going to be actually pretty fun. So goodness knows you're going to get better picks than I get. So be paying attention. We'll use social media to talk about this. We'll kind of get all of that out there. But make sure you go to the forum at forum.dognation.com. We want as many people to be a part of this as we can. The more people that enter, the more fun that it's going to be. And we'll see who walks away with the big winner of our first ever Dog Nation Daily Bracket contest. By the way, there are a total of 7 SEC teams in the tournament. And, it's kind of funny. There was a time in my life where my SEC pride was very intense, and I probably would have rooted for most of these teams just to see the conference do well in March Madness. Not this time around. First of all, it's very easy to root against Florida versus Nevada. I don't know the first thing about the Wolfpack, but they're my favorite team in the world come March 21st at 6:50 p.m. Cannot wait to see Nevada take down Florida. Maybe Mark Fox is going to go back and coach his old team there in that game. I actually think Yale has a chance to upset LSU. I think Auburn's done just well enough in the SEC tournament that it's going to be very disappointing to them when they go down to defeat early in the NCAA tournament. I'll probably have a good time with that. And I guess I'll also ask this question. Given the bad blood that's existed between Dog Nation and Kentucky Sports Radio over the course of the offseason, should I rub it in the Wildcats fans' face when they choke in the NCAA tournament again? Because we know that's happening. We know that's coming. I mean, they have been choking dogs in the NCAA tournament under John Calipari. They choked away the SEC tournament the other day. I've mostly taken the high road in the KSR, D&D squabble here over the Eddie Grant stuff. We may have to bring that back up a little bit, though, once Kentucky goes out in the NCAA tournament. Anyway, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to have our bracket up for you at the forum at forum.dognation.com. We'll have a good time with that. I was going to do something on the playoff. Let me move off that for right now. I'll save that for later on. CrowKing123, instead on the YouTube comment section, was talking about the Diamond Dogs over the weekend. And I did watch the Diamond Dogs on Friday. First of all, Emerson Hancock, the Friday starter for UGA, he's the real deal, man. What a terrific, terrific pitcher he looks to be. As Georgia takes the sweep from South Carolina this weekend at Founders Park there in Columbia, I watched the Friday game on TV. I actually took my daughter to the Gym Dogs on Saturday, and so driving back from that, listen to the game with our buddy Jeff Dantzler and Dave Johnson on 960 The Rev. They do a great job covering and calling those Georgia baseball games. And you're driving back from Athens on 129, there's a beautiful sunset taking place. Listen to a little Georgia baseball on the radio. I got to tell you, life was kind of good. My daughter had fallen asleep. She's only 3, so she'd fallen asleep going home from that. It was a really good time. And this Georgia baseball team right now is really, really fun. And what a great way to get started with the sweep there over South Carolina. Jim Dawgs did beat top 10 ranked Utah, by the way, in the whole regular season home finale on Saturday afternoon. That was a lot of fun. Golf team wins the Linger Longer there at Lake Oconee over the weekend, too. So a lot of good stuff going on for Georgia Athletics this weekend. And I got to tell you, I am on board with this baseball team. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I love the SEC portion of the schedule, those Friday, Saturday, Sunday deals, I guess LSU coming in this weekend. So I know the appetite for baseball will never be what it is for football, but this baseball team right now is pretty fun to watch for a UGA. Of course, a lot of Georgia fans have their minds on what's going to happen tomorrow, though, at the start of spring practice, and it's kind of an interesting timeline for Georgia football as spring practice begins, just as spring break for the college kids is ending. And we have seen a lot of Georgia players putting out their own workout videos on social media, whether it be, you know, Nolan Smith's had his, Jermaine Johnson's had a really impressive one, Zamir White's had a couple. We've seen all kinds of stuff from that regard. Georgia players really getting after it in the weight room. Well, a very different version of that from Georgia quarterback Jake Fromm. I thought this was hilarious, and I thought it was worth you seeing and hearing here on Dog Nation Daily. Here's your quarterback, Dog fans.
Hey guys, what's going on? Spring break. Supposed to be working out instead of fishing, getting a little shoulder prehab in. Out here also working on a little bit of hand grip, a little bit of bicep curls, and we're catching big ones out here, boys.
For those of you who are listening and didn't see the video, what Fromm's holding there is a fish. He's standing on one of those boats, one of those fishing boats, and he's doing some pretty impressive fishing as it looks to be there for Fromm. And I thought it was pretty funny. I like to have a quarterback who has a sense of humor. Fromm seems to have a good one. I'm glad to see him enjoying his spring break. I'm also glad there's no fishing hook in his hand. There's no water skiing axe or anything like that. Good to see Fromm staying safe out there in the great outdoors as well. So a good time there from him. And the next time we see Fromm, it'll be in full uniform as a part of a spring practice heading towards G-Day. And I know for a lot of Georgia fans, that is indeed very good news. So I mentioned before, as we wrap up today, that I am looking forward to rooting against Florida in the NCAA tournament. Now, I'll admit, they did get jobbed by the refs in that Auburn game on, I guess it was Saturday. That pains me to admit, but they were on the receiving end of a bad call. But it's still fun to watch Florida go down, even if it's by nefarious means. Either way, we love hating on those Gators around here. In fact, our Gatorator updater, it's now been 870 days since the lousy, stinking Gators have beaten Georgia. And that, my friend, is really good news. Let me also finish on kind of a serious note to close out here. I love the relationship that I'm able to forge with many of you who watch, listen, comment. And Shannon Baker, one of our great Facebook commenters, mentioned that his grandmother, he reached out to me on Twitter, his grandmother suffered a bad fall. And, you know, our prayers are with that family. And for all of you who go through similar experiences, thanks for sharing those with me, and thanks for allowing us to be a part of what you do every single day. And we'll see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.